We are continuing in our series in the book of Mark, and so I have the privilege of reading the passage for this morning. We are in Mark 1, verses 29 through 39, if you want to open your Bible so you can follow along up on the screen. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the reading of God's word. And the first time I read this week, honestly, several things jumped out at me. But the more I sat in it, the one verse that really spoke to my heart this week was 35. So I want to read that again to you. It says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." I think the reality of that season for Jesus must have been very busy, very chaotic. Ministry was beginning for him. He was traveling a lot. He was healing people. He was driving out demons. He was teaching about the kingdom. And he was fully God and fully man, yet he still recognized his need to find a solitary place to spend time with the Lord. And as I considered that, I thought about how busy this season is for many of us. It is graduation season, it is wedding season, it's end of the school year, spring sports. A lot of us have more responsibilities outside with mowing the lawn and caring for plants and all the things. It can be chaotic and it can be busy. So in the midst of that, do we recognize our need for a solitary place to spend time with the Lord? So that's what I've been pondering this week. And I think the reality is that God created our bodies to long for him, our minds, our spirits. Something happens when we give him that time. We find rest. We are renewed. We're refueled for the things that we need to do. So I've been reminded that our flesh is going to tell us we're too busy. We have too much going on to set a time aside for the Lord. But I was also reminded that when I prioritize that, when I make it important in my life, what happens for me in my mind, in my body, in my spirit with the Lord far outweighs the sacrifice of time that I'm giving to him. So that's my encouragement for you this week as you move about your days. Just consider, am I even in the midst of the busy finding that solitary place with the Lord? Would you pray with me? Father, I'm thankful this morning that you long for us. You did create us in a way to long for you, but God, you chase after us. And I'm thankful for that. God, I pray this week that there would be divine encounters with you for people in this room. God, that as we seek your face, as we sacrifice time, that you would show up, that you would meet us where we are, that we would connect with you in maybe ways that we haven't yet before. Because the truth is, Father, we love you so much, and we want you to be first in our lives. So would you come in that role, Father? Would you open our ears this morning? Would you open our hearts to the words that Andrew has for us today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Aubrey. So this afternoon, I have a son who's going to be graduating Knoxville. Judd has a son or daughter who's going to be graduating at Pleasantville. It's graduation day. I'm thinking about graduations. I'm thinking about things I hear at graduations. And one of the messages you hear often at graduations is something along the lines of, you know, it's trying to expand people's visions. You can do whatever you want. You can, you know, if you put your mind to it, nothing's impossible for you. These kinds of things that have there's a good inspirational quality to them. I just don't believe it. And little known fact about me is that I took dance lessons for a few years as a little kid. There was tap dancing involved. I did a tap dance solo at the kindergarten play, just a little intermission where I did me and my teddy bear. But also, I mean, I don't remember us ever calling it ballet, but I remember I put the little, you know, soft, slippery things on at ballet. Like, I never passed the presidential fitness thing in school. Like, I ran the mile, I could do the pull-up thing, but the sit and reach, the flexibility one, you know, I can remember Mr. Morgan telling me, my PE teacher, like, okay, go ahead. And I'm like, going, you know, and he laughed at me, because he's like, you gotta be kidding me, that's all. And a doctor has told me, like, you can have one of those machines that stretches you, and that would be better for you, but you will never be flexible. You're built that way. But like back in, this started in an early age for me. And you know, we had to like put the leg up on the, that actually really hurt and I could have started cramping right there. That was not premeditated and I should think carefully more before I do things. I was gonna demonstrate, so we do the somersault, but I'm not gonna demonstrate anymore because I gotta make it through this. We would have to do somersault, and then you'd, like, stand right up without using your hands. And, like, every week, I can remember, I would get to that spot, and just, they'd be like, come on, push. And then they'd have to help me up. And I cannot remember many things about being 5 years old, but I remember when they all cheered for me because I finally got it after weeks and weeks. So if I wanted to be a professional ballet dancer, I don't care if I put my mind to it. It ain't happening, and I mean, truth be known, I never had the burning desire to be a professional ballet dancer, but I'm just saying there's some limitations. So good message in that, like, and then, you know, like, do something you love. Also, I think there's some good messages in that, but, like, basically, I feel like people leave high school, there's a bunch of people who are like, okay, so I gotta find a job where I can play video games, because I love video games, and, like, if I could find a job where I could be video games and still be a professional athlete, I mean, you could take these things too far. That's all I'm saying. So what a better message might be is that you can be an agent of goodness in the world. You can bring goodness to the world, to a world that needs goodness. You can do that. You can do that in a way that only you can do that. And that's not just a message for graduates. That's not just a message for the young. It is a message for the young. But it's a message for the old. It's a message for everyone in between. You can bring goodness. You can. That is an opportunity you have, and you can in a way that only you can. And we've been going through this first chapter of Mark, and one of the themes of it is good news. Because right at the very beginning, Mark says, you know what I'm writing about? This is the gospel, the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. That's what this whole thing is about. And then Jesus gets on the scene, and he goes around proclaiming good news. The good news of God's kingdom, the good news of God's available, God's reality, God's goodness is here for us. And he says to repent, change, line up, live into it. Because it is goodness. It's right there. You just have to change and trust and go. Because God's here. His goodness is here. It's available to us. Believe the good news. He's all about goodness and bringing goodness. And then he tells people, follow me. I will make you fishers of people. So let me just read one thing that Aubrey said to start. Verse 38, after Jesus has done the praying that she focused on, he says, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus knows why he's here. This is why I'm here, to preach the good news. We just heard what he preached. He preached a couple weeks ago, we looked at it, good news, God's goodness. It's available. And when he proclaims goodness, when it says to proclaim the gospel or proclaim goodness, it's not just get up on a stage and talk. That's not what that word meant. It meant to say and to do, to show and to tell, this is who God is. This is his goodness. Not just to talk about it, but to bring it into reality, into people's lives. That's what he went around doing. He knew why he was there. This is why I have come, to bring goodness, to proclaim goodness, so people could see the goodness of God, so people could experience the goodness of God, so people could have the goodness of God operating in their life. That is why I have come. And he says, come and follow me. Anybody who wants to be part of that, come and follow me. And you can bring God's goodness. You can live in God's goodness. You can spread God's goodness. Just come follow me. I will show you how to do it. And, I mean, Jesus is a mover and a shaker. One of the words, I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago, there's this Greek word, eiothios. Eiothios is, I'm not saying it right, but I don't know Greek, and neither do any of you, so it doesn't really matter. Anyway, this is a word that gets translated several different ways when we're reading it in most of our translations, like at once, without delay. Somewhere else will say as soon as. And so you miss that there is this word that keeps getting said. And it can also be translated immediately, 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 immediately. So Mark is telling the story about the good news of Jesus and who he is and how he came on the scene. And in verse 10, it says, he went down in the water, and immediately when he came up, the heavens tore open, the Spirit came down on him. And then one verse later, immediately the Spirit drove him out to the wilderness. And when he came out of the wilderness, he was proclaiming the good news. And then he called Simon and Andrew, and immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And after they did that, immediately he called James and John. And then they left their father and the hired men, and they went and followed him. And immediately when the Sabbath day came, they went into the synagogue, and he was teaching with authority. And immediately a man with an impure spirit had a demon manifest in that, and he muzzled it and cast it out, and immediately the good news spread about him all over the place. And immediately when they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to Simon and Andrew's house, where Simon's mother-in-law was sick, and immediately they told her about her. I mean, you see what's, I mean, there's some urgency. This is happening. Jesus is on the move, and he knows what he's about. This is why I have come, to bring goodness, to proclaim goodness. And if you want to be part of that, come follow me, he says. You can do that. But like Aubrey said, he's got a lot. I mean, so he gets to this point. He has preached. He has cast out a demon. He has healed the sick. And then the sun goes down and the whole town shows up at the door. And they're not all perfectly smiley people. They are sick. They're demon-possessed, and he's ministering to them, so he must have went to bed super, super late. So I would think what he needs most is to sleep in. But as Aubrey read, he didn't sleep in. He got up super early. It's not because Jesus doesn't need sleep or rest because he's the Son of God. He was a human just as we are humans. And we see in other parts of the Bible, he clearly needs his rest. I mean, he's so cashed, so out of gas that a storm where everyone thinks they're going to die. I mean, if it's a storm where you think you're going to die and you're in a boat, it is loud and disruptive, and he sleeps through it because he so needs rest because he's a human. And we know that he eats because he needs food because he's a human, but he also knows what his soul needs, what human soul needs, and it is connection with God. And Aubrey shared about that really well. Well, we talk about here, we talk about two ways of praying. So we have upper room worship nights almost every Wednesday night. Live music is led, a time where we can pray some reflectively, mostly reflectively. that we talk about focusing on intimacy and intercession. So intimacy is about drawing close to God. It's about just being with God. Remembering there is a God. Remembering God knows us. That God wants a relationship with us. I've talked about our prayer room that's off the side in the cafe area there, and how it's not every week, but I was thinking about it. It's pretty close to every 2 weeks at least. Somebody tells me about what they experience in that prayer room or how much that prayer room means to them. And a lot of times it's things just like they got direction. They went in with anxiety. They came out with peace. Just by giving a few moments to a place. Well, what do you do in the prayer room? I don't know. Sometimes I just sit there. Sometimes I turn on music. Sometimes I don't have music. Sometimes I'll read something. Sometimes I'll use a station. Sometimes I won't. But when I'm there, I am there for God. And when we're there for God, he's always here for us. He's just waiting for some time for us to give his attention. And because that's a place where our attention isn't as distracted, there are things that happen, things that he shows up. So last summer, we prayed all the way through for a whole week where someone would sign up for praying for an hour, and they wouldn't leave till the next person showed up, and then that was what happened all the way through for a whole week, 24 hours, whole week. And there were several of you who had never been in there before, but because we're doing that issue, and you would say, like, I didn't know what I'm going to do with myself for an hour. And this was the common thing of people who did it for the first time. That was literally the quotes we got back because we'd ask for feedback. The fastest hour of my life. God's there. Time changes when we give our undivided attention to God. So we're going to do that again in September, Lord willing. But we have another prayer initiative coming. And this gets to the second thing, intercession. Intercession is praying for others. Intercession is being a go-between between people and God. God, come move in this person's life. God, come help this person in this situation. God, please be in their circumstances right now. Intercession. And what we're going to do in June, the whole month of June, we are going to encourage everyone at least once to prayer walk. To go through a space, a neighborhood, a place, and walk and pray. There's going to be an app where we can see where prayer walking is happening. And we're going to get people in touch with that by June 1st. Camille lined that up. They're going to do it in Pella. There's a church that's going to do it in Newton for sure. Probably some churches in the Sunday Network in the Des Moines area. But it is a place where we can go. Because Jesus, let's look at verse 38 and 39 again. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So Jesus did go pray. And he did go to the synagogue, to church of the Jewish people, and teach and worship. He did those things. But he was also on the move. He was going places. And I think he is so hard to pin down Jesus. And I think this is probably true for our lives too. It certainly was true then. So it's like, okay, you want to bring goodness into people's lives. You just brought a bunch of goodness into people's lives. They are ready for you. They are here for you. We can set up shop. We can make things happen right here and now. And he says, let's go somewhere else. That's why I'm not just here. But hey, we got momentum. Let's keep this going. No, I've come so that people would know all over the place who God is, what he's like, that he's real, that he's active in their life, that he is good, and that he has good intentions for them. So that's why I've come. That's where we're going. So that surprises me that he wouldn't stay in one spot, but then what also surprises me is where did he go? The nearby villages. The nearby villages in Galilee. Backwater Galilee. Hickville, Galilee. Like Knoxville. You know, if you're on, I mean, no offense to those of us in Knoxville, but if you're in like the metropolitan areas, you're not thinking like, let's go to Knoxville, and that's where the big thing is going to happen for God. The Roman Empire. How about if God comes as a human being to start a movement, a global movement, that would change the world, that would impact. If he wants to do that, maybe you should go to Rome at the time, because Rome is the big empire. But Jesus says, you know what? I am going to start a global movement that's going to outlast the Roman Empire, that's going to be more influential than the Roman Empire. You know how I'm going to do it? Right here in these small towns. I'm going to bring goodness. And I'm going to have people come follow me, and they're going to learn about God's goodness. And they're going to experience God's goodness. And after I leave, they're going to have God's Spirit, and they're going to bring God's goodness. That was his strategy then. That is his strategy now. And every single one of us has the opportunity to say, yes, I want Jesus in my life. I want God's goodness in my life that's made available through Jesus and what he's done on the cross, and that he's risen, and that he's alive, and that his Spirit is available to us now. Every one of us has that opportunity to do that. We can say yes, we can say no. And that leads to one last observation I want to make out of the passage that Aubrey read, and that is, sure talks a lot about demons. And it's kind of the thing, you're just kind of like, well, let's just move on. You know, it's something back then. They must have been really woo-woo. But we're not going to get into that here. We don't have any issues with evil here. But it's almost like Mark wants to make sure, hey, don't skip the part about demons. Like, I want you to know, when he came, he taught authority. It was really impressive what he taught. But a demon manifested, and he muzzled it, and he cast it out. And then they brought all kinds of demon-possessed people, and he drove them out. And then he said, we got to go to the nearby villages, and he drove out many demons. Because if God is going to bring goodness, like God's goodness, like pure goodness, then evil's not going to be able to stay. Conversely, if we're going to just bring evil in, then goodness, we're going to run out of room for goodness too. And so we need to shut the door on evil. And so when our screens are making us angry, which Jesus starts his famous sermon saying, you want to get started on following me? Start here. Don't be angry. Don't stay angry. Don't feed anger. I'm telling you, our devices are pretty good at that. We're scrolling through. Let me just keep doing this. This is so good for me. You know, if our screens are causing us to lust, if our screens are causing us to just be distracted and lose tons of time, then we have to shut the door on it some so we can come to a place where we remember who God is. You know, when Jesus is praying, I think one of the things he would go back to pray about is to remember his words, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus was active, but he was not hyperactive. He was not like, he would be willing to minister to the crowds, but it wasn't so that he could feel alive. His identity was he was a beloved son. He knew who he was, the Son of God, and he ministered out of that place. And we need to live our lives out of that place. We are loved. We were created in love. We were saved out of love, redeemed by love. And now we can go do good. So, evil. So this morning I thought of a story I haven't thought about for a while. When I was in my 20s, I got invited to go listen to a missionary talk. He was a missionary's son, and then he became a full-time missionary eventually, in the Amazon jungle. His dad went to minister to the Yanomamu people. Bunch of tribes, generally speaking, the bunch of tribes were called the Yanomamu. They were animistic. They like believed in a lot of spiritual stuff, saw a lot of spiritual stuff. What Gary Dawson was his name, what he would say is that here we are too focused on the material and we don't pay enough attention to the spiritual. That's kind of our world. There, they are super focused on the spiritual. And they don't pay enough attention to the material. And so it took years before there were any conversions of ministering there. But they learned a lot about their They learn their language and they learn their culture. And so the most important person in the different tribes would be the witch doctor. And the witch doctor would be able to communicate with all the spirits, would be able to take spirits and kind of had incantations so that the people in the tribes could be filled with these spirits. They could see these spirits. And they knew about one spirit. Oh, what was his name? Pad Thai. That's not right. It sounds more like a dish. Anyway, whatever it was, they had this spirit, and that was the most powerful spirit. That was the most powerful enemy spirit. The most powerful enemy spirit lived in a beautiful place, kind of high above the other spirits. But he was the evil spirit. He also had another name that was translated the child-eating spirit. Why did they call him the child-eating spirit? Because when a child died, this spirit would go and take them and bring them to the beautiful place. Now, we're talking about demons in this passage. These spirits are communicating, you don't want to be by the powerful enemy spirit who lives in the beautiful place, who takes children to be with him. You got to stay away from him because demons are deceptive. They're evil. So they are trying to keep the powerful enemy spirit, they're trying to keep the people away from that. So, told lots of stories, just incredible stories about what he had seen and experienced. And there was a witch doctor, Shoefoot, who was converted. And there's a book that I read that's Shoefoot's story about what he could see in the spirit realm and then what happened in his conversion. And Shoefoot actually came several years later. I remember being in a house eating with Shoefoot. And what Shoefoot could see in the United States is crazy for another time. I got to get back to my story. So Gary Dawson, at the end, asked many questions, and I just said, I have a question. What do you think about spiritual warfare and how to pray effectively in spiritual warfare? I mean, he's talking about all these demons and the spirits that they have and what happens. And he says, well, I believe in it. I don't think this is all a matter of their imagination. He said, I remember seeing a witch doctor. I'm in the tribe. They curse another village. Send a specific curse on another village, and I go to the village the next day, and someone is dead, and they died that night. So I saw it. So I believe in it. He said, but I don't really focus a lot on that. And I'm thinking, like, you saw that, and you aren't focused on praying for, he's like, I pray for protection, I guess. But he said, when he was a teenager, he had kind of had it with the being a missionary kid, probably. It's like, it's not like I totally threw away my faith, but I just wasn't sure what I thought anymore. And I was just going through the motions. And he said, but for whatever reason, I got invited to go with this other Yanomamu guy. And this is now after conversions have happened in this tribe. And we're going to go to a village we haven't been to before. And we're going to see if we can, you know, evangelize. And he's almost in a rolling his eyes the way he's telling it. And so we go, it's a long journey, we get there at night, and as we're approaching the village, we hear the drums, there's a fire, they're having some sort of celebration, and so he walks in with this other guy, and once he steps in, shoo, just complete silence. And it's awkward, and nobody will talk to him, The next day, nobody will talk to him, so he ended up getting to be able to talk to the witch doctor there. And he starts to fumbling way, try to talk about God and Jesus. And the witch doctor says, oh, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about whatever name I can't say, the great powerful enemy spirit who lives in the place that is beautiful and pristine and is the most powerful spirit of any spirit. I know who you're talking about because his spirit is in you. Gary, he said, the moment you walked into the village last night, all of our spirits went immediately into the trees, and they're hiding in the trees outside the village now, and they've been begging me to send you away. And Gary said to me, he said, I was barely praying at that time in my life. I was not connected to God in my life, but a nominal, almost backsliding person who has Jesus in them has that much authority. He said, so this is what I think spiritual warfare is. You want to fight in spiritual warfare? This is my thing. take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Jesus. And you will have power in you. That is not what I was expecting for an answer. But remember what I talked about last week, those of you who are here, how a little lady can go out to New York City and there's cars. There's people driving cars, and the people do not want to stop. The people are in a hurry. They want to go, and they can crush that little lady with their cars, with their trucks, and yet she just goes, whoop, and they stop because she's got a uniform on. She's a police officer. She has the authority of New York City behind her, and so powerful trucks, they wait for that lady until she says they can go. In the spirit realm, if we believe in Jesus and we follow Jesus, we shut the door to evil, we follow Jesus, we have, because of his grace and what he's done on the cross and his spirit, we have authority to impact for good. You know, I don't understand the mystery of God. God is sovereign. He is going to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. He is going to, his purposes are going to see to it in the end. But in the here and now, he has set it up so that human beings have huge impact on the earth. When he created the world, he gave humanity dominion over it, that it impacts it for good or for evil. That is why, to save the world, he had to become a human, because he so works through humanity in what things look like. And so again, you have the ability to be an agent of God's goodness in the world. To push out evil or to bring in God's goodness. And the key is, do we say yes to Jesus? I will come follow you. I want to be part of that. Every one of us, wherever we go, wherever he's put us, we can do that. You can. And lives are changed, and communities are changed, and eternities are changed based on a response to that call. So, what I'd like us to do for the rest of this time is to follow Jesus, who decided prayer was an important aspect of it. And so we're going to do some intimacy and intercession. I'll invite Matt to come up and kind of lead us for a little time. We're going to do two things. And so the first is just, we're just going to be here. We're just going to be here. God is here. Jesus died, but he didn't just stay dead. He's alive. And so we just have a chance to be with God. When we think about him, his presence becomes known to us. So we're going to do that. Matt will play, maybe sing a little. I'll kind of get us started, and then we'll move to one other form of prayer before we close with a song. Let's pray together. Thank you that you are God and we are not, and we can trust you. Thank you that you are here in our midst, and we are giving you our attention now. Even for just a few moments, we're giving you our attention now. This time is yours. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. The Lord who sees you and loves you. So now we're going to move into the second way that we're going to pray. It's going to be a little more intercession-like. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up so that they can be ready for the last song that we'll do together. I'm not a pastor who says turn to your neighbor and say these things or talk to them, or very often I'm not a... But we're going to do something different today. I don't understand why prayer works. And I don't understand why when we pray together, there's something different that happens. Or when someone prays for us, there's something different that happens. Or how in the Bible in Acts, it talks about people laying their hands on people and something different happens. But there's different ways that we pray that accomplish different things. And so today what I'd like is for you to put your hand on someone else, on their shoulder, and I will pray, but the prayer is going to move through you. And someone's going to have their hand on your shoulder, and you're going to have something move into you. So how we're going to do that, we're going to stand up. We're going to kind of get close to people. We're going to put hands on each other's shoulders, and I'm going to pray. And you can trust, especially if you're in Jesus, that you can be a conduit of his goodness, of his love, and of his power. God, as you are right here in our midst, we pray that literally we would be the hands of Jesus and that your power would move through our hands into this person or these people who our hands are on in these moments. We pray that your name would be hallowed in this person, that you would glorify your name through this person. Even this week and throughout their life, glorify your name in this person. Put your name on them, your authority with them. Put your power in them. May your kingdom come and your will be done in this person's life. May your kingdom come and your will be done in power through this person's life. May your goodness flow to others through this person's life. And we pray that you would give this person what they stand in need of most today. And then do it again tomorrow and the next day. Keep giving this person what they stand in need of most. Meet their needs every single day, and may they have confidence. May they be a confident person that you will always meet their needs every day. That no day will be too much for this person because you will give them daily bread. And we pray for your forgiveness in this person's life, for a cleansing from anything that's been done to them, a cleansing from anything they've done, a cleansing from a guilty conscience, a cleansing from shame. There would be a freedom in this person because of the forgiveness, because of the power of the cross. And we pray that you would give this person a forgiving heart, that they would be able to forgive others, that there would not be resentment in their life or contempt in their life, that even in ways that they have been deeply hurt, they would find deep healing from you. We pray that you would lead them not into difficult things, that you'd rescue them out of difficult things, that you would lead them not into temptation, that you would set them free from where they're most vulnerable to evil, that you would in fact deliver them from evil, that you wouldn't just protect them, but you would fill them with your spirit in a way that they are dangerous to evil, that evil would flee from them, that evil would want nothing to do from them, that evil would be scared of them, so that wherever they step, your kingdom, your authority would come. and your goodness would be made known to people, for you, Jesus, are the name above every name. And you, Jesus, live in all of those who invite you in and give their lives to you. So may that be true of this person I'm praying for. For we pray it in his name. Amen.